Well, good morning and welcome to the Tuesday Morning Show here at KRFY. You are listening to listener-supported community radio for North Idaho, and you'll be listening to just myself, Julie Calamine, this morning. Phil is away. We've got an interesting set of guests this morning, really two groups, and we'll be starting with an interview about Idaho Gives with three of the participants in that group. Before I introduce them, I'm going to first talk about the weather. And guess what? It's cloudy and rainy. Today, we can expect overcast skies with a high of 41. And tonight, we are going to be expecting showers with a low of 40. Tomorrow, more of the same, rain and high of 49, et cetera, et cetera. So it looks like the only day this week that is going to be less than rainy will be on Saturday. That's a 20% chance of showers day. And there is a lot going on, one of which is the KRFY Adopt Highway. So if you're looking for things to do, give me a call later and I'll get you signed up. Now, on to our program this morning. As I've already mentioned, we're going to be joined by folks that are participating in Idaho Gives, and these three are Britta Meyerly from Friends of Scotchman Peaks. Good morning, Britta.
Good morning, Julie.
Glad to see you here. We also have Dennison Webb, who works at Soul. Good morning, Dennison.
Good morning.
And finally, Mandy Evans, the Executive Director of the Panhandle Animal Shelter. Good morning, Mandy.
Good morning.
All right. Well, why don't you each take a moment and tell us about your nonprofits and give us a summary of what y'all do. Let's start with you, Britta.
Thank you. So I'm with Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. We are a nonprofit that's been around since about 2005, and we are working for wilderness for the Scotchman Peaks. We also do a lot of stewardship activity and just like to get people out in the woods.
It's a great organization. Dennison, tell us about Soul.
So Soul, Soul stands for Selkirk Outdoor Leadership and Education. We're a nonprofit based here out of Sandpoint. We serve mainly youth. About 80% of our programming is youth-based. To date, we've served over 1,700 youth and gotten them outdoors and immersed in a natural environment to kind of explore and learn about their local wildlands.
And it's all year. You're out summer, winter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's 24/7, 365.
And also involved with the schools at some point.
We do. Majority of our programming is, school-based.
Yes.
So public and private schools.
Yeah, it's a great program. And finally, Mandy, Panhandle Animal Shelter.
Yeah, so Panhandle Animal Shelter is located in Ponderay, right next to Sandpoint. But we serve a larger market. We help Boundary, Bonner, and Kootenai County. And we take in about 1,600 dogs and cats a year, plus also provide about 2 tons of dog and cat food to people in need, needing to feed their pets temporarily. We also spay and neuter about 2,000 animals a year, community animals a year. So that's what we do. We are a shelter, bring in dogs and cats that are homeless, adopt them out, and then help community members who need assistance to care for their pets so they don't end up in the shelter.
And when you say community spay and neuter, are these things like feral animals, like feral cats, that kind of?
Feral cats plus there are a lot of owners in our community that really love their pets, but they cannot afford to spay and neuter them. So we help them with that.
And that's a great service also.
Thanks.
So three really interesting nonprofits. And while we could likely spend an entire hour talking with each of you, any of the three of you, about your individual nonprofits, today is more about Idaho Gives, which is really a special day here in Idaho. And I'd like for one or all three of you to tell me, what is Idaho Gives? What's its mission?
Britta? So Idaho Gives is a statewide 24-hour online giving day, and it's taking place next week, May 4th. And since the inaugural event in 2013, Idahoans have raised more than $2.3 million for the participating nonprofits. It's organized by the Idaho Nonprofit Center, and it's free for us to participate as members. And they kind of started it as a new avenue for nonprofits to reach donors.
And it's a big day. And what about the entire country? I went online and I looked and I noticed there are other giving days. Is it all the same organization, or does each state manage its own Idaho Gives?
Each community actually usually manages their own. But in Idaho, we actually have a statewide but in other regions, it wouldn't necessarily be by, it might be a state day, but it's managed per community.
So it's a more loose association. It's not a big national organization. No. Got it. Okay. And Britta, you mentioned something about the history locally, but do you have any idea how many nonprofits are going to be involved in this day here in the area, roughly?
I think about 10.
Oh, that's a big number. Yeah. That's lots of nonprofits. And we have tons of nonprofits here in the area. So regarding Idaho Gives and Giving Days in general, it does seem to be a growing trend. And I'm wondering, is it a growing trend because it's been very successful or it's easy? What's the effect been on your nonprofits? You can each give me an idea of that.
Sure, I'll share something. So for us, for Giving Days or any type of events like this, we actually earmark all of our funds directly for scholarships for youth. So if a youth wants to participate in a summer program, they can actually apply directly to us and actually receive funds and a summer camp experience.
So your Idaho Gives donations will solely go to that purpose?
Pun intended.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, absolutely. but I would say overall, like a more global kind of perspective is that I think it's a great way to bring nonprofits together for a common good, which is, you know, we're all doing great work. We get to collaborate a little bit. We have a great event coming up at the Idaho Poor Authority where folks that are new to Idaho Gives and want to learn a little bit more about it or just celebrate and have a good time with local nonprofits can come by and celebrate and have a beverage of their choice or not and jump online. We'll have iPads there and things like that where they can actually get on and donate on our different pages.
So there's a lot more than just going online and giving. You can actually get out and meet other folks that are giving to Idaho Gives and meet
exactly.
all the nonprofits. Yeah.
And there's also incentives where I think Britta might speak a little more to that, the different awards that are offered for donors on that day.
Yeah, so there are incentives for donors to donate to their favorite nonprofits on Idaho Gives Day. There's an award pool where corporations have put money in, and from that award pool, there's golden tickets where donation is drawn periodically throughout the day, and whoever that donation was to, they get extra money. So the donor gets notified that their favorite nonprofit got a little bit extra boost that for that golden ticket. And there's also leaderboard prizes. And that's based on, you know, the top few in each kind of budget category. So obviously a huge nonprofit would not be in the same category as someone small because that wouldn't be fair, right?
No.
But so there are leaderboard prizes also. So there's some incentives. Your favorite nonprofits could get a little boost that day if you donate to them.
Yeah, doesn't sound like it's quite a matching, but your donation can do more good than just your single donation on that day.
It's actually more. So like we had a donor that gave $25 and we received $500 from the nonprofit
for
center.
A golden ticket?
So
it's sort of a lottery.
I think that was actually
card.
A donor appreciation award.
I don't know, but I was irritated that you got it.
There's no
it doesn't
competition
seem fair.
No competition.
No. Well, I'll circle back to the question, what effect does a day like this have on everybody? Mandy, is it like your single biggest day of donations?
You know,
or not
it
really?
Isn't. It isn't, but the reason that there's a couple reasons we love it. One is we do get to have an opportunity to really work collaboratively with the other nonprofits in Sandpoint. It's the one time of year I get to spend time with Denison, who's normally out in the woods talking to trees. And so it's a nice opportunity. But also on that day, it gives us an excuse for almost an information overload for people on our Facebook page to see the stories. We highlight stories of how donors have helped animals throughout the year. So it's a nice opportunity. This year, our money is going to go towards, the money donated on that day will go towards medical, our angel fund. So, for example, we are the only organization that I know of in the area that will help with emergency or with medical. So we had somebody call up yesterday that their dog has liver shunts, and it's going to be over $2,000 surgery. And so they're asking us for help. We can't say that we'll be able to help them or whether we'll give them the whole amount, but it's because of people donating towards the Angel Fund that we're able to help.
I see. And Britta, with Friends of Scotchman Peaks, is there a certain...
You know, we haven't earmarked it for a certain cause, but we do have donor levels on our Idaho Gives page. And we also are looking to bring our winter program coordinator back. We have a Bring Tyler Back Fund. She covered my maternity leave this winter and ran our Winter Tracks program. And she did such an amazing job that we want her to do it again, not cover my maternity leave, because that would have involve having another baby. but we want her to come back and run our Winter Tracks program again. So we do have our Give Bring Tyler Back Fund. And also, we're at a key juncture right now with Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, with asking Senator Risch to reintroduce the Scotchman Peaks Wilderness Act. And so any funding can help us advance our campaign to designate the Idaho portion of the Scotchman's as wilderness.
So lots of good projects that the money might go to.
Yeah, getting kids in the woods, getting our half protected as wilderness. So lots of great things.
And Tyler is great. I've met her. And I like her parents, too. So if we get Tyler and her parents back, that would be wonderful.
I think her parents are going to stick around. They're volunteering for summer projects, even though she's going to be back with the Park Service for the summer. So fingers crossed.
That would be good for us all. Mandy, you had mentioned some, you know, individual stories of how the earmarking of the funds for today can help. And you mentioned the dog with the liver shunts. Any other really good stories where you've been able to help out with animals?
We had a dog owner come to us, and her dog was going through some medical issues that there is a formal term for this, but I cannot think of it right now. But the eyelashes grow in the opposite direction. And she was very low income, a senior, loved her dog very much. And we were able to help her perform the surgery, because it's an irritant, and the dog would end up, I believe, going blind. So the preemptive surgery helped.
One eyelash hurts, so I imagine that had to hurt a lot.
Can you imagine?
Yes. And would you all say it's typical or generally typical that the nonprofits try and earmark their funds for one particular thing on a day like this, or is it all over the board?
Yeah, I think it depends on the individual nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Denison, any interesting stories of how the Idaho Gives donations have helped?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of complicated in that, you know, I think that, you know, most of the folks that we serve are living in poverty. About 42% to 97% of the youth that we serve live in poverty every day. Over 60% of those youth are actually first timers, meaning it's the first time they've been out exploring the woods or learning about, you know, their local wildlands despite proximity. So even though they live here, they're surrounded by all this natural beauty. They're not getting out in it and learning about it, and therefore they're not developing a sense of belonging for it or to it, rather. And so that's really what we aim to do, you know, through these funds is really provide more of those opportunities to kind of bridge that socioeconomic gap that exists in our community.
So going beyond the school districts helping out, you're able to help more kids with donations.
School district and beyond. If there's kids that are homeschooled that parents want that type of experience or listening in, I would encourage them for sure to get on our website. We offer grades, or I should say age levels 4 to 18 summer programs.
Yes, for all of us that have come out to the area because of the beauty of it, it's a great way to help young people that can't afford to learn about the outdoors learn about it. It's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Britta, any interesting stories from Scotchman Idaho Gives days? You're kind of new, so
I am kind of new. So this is my second Idaho Gives, and the first one is the first time I met Denison. Like Mandy said, this is probably not our biggest donation day of the year, but we do really, appreciate the chance to make new friends. We've got over 7,000 friends of Scotchman Peaks right now, and we always get more friends through Idaho Gives Day. People didn't know about us, or they knew about us but didn't know how to get engaged, and so this helps us gain new friends, new supporters, and really advance our cause and help help make new stewards for our landscape.
So I imagine for all three of you, it's a new good way to reach out and hopefully get more supporters.
And I think also as a nonprofit, I believe in helping other nonprofits, that we're kind of all in this together. And it's an opportunity for us as we get together to learn more about what the other nonprofits are doing. And we have a lot of amazing things that happen in Sandpoint to support the people, especially I think it's a special place in my heart for organizations that focus on helping youth that are not able to, their parents aren't able to afford things, because the more we can empower them, I think the greatest difference we make. So, and then the next person you have up, the Community Resource Center, they're a great nonprofit. It's just nice. And we're in this for a reason. And when we have the opportunity to learn about what everybody's doing, it means something to me.
That's right. And the three guests we have today are sort of related to outdoor environmental topics, because that's what we talk about here on Tuesdays. However, the nonprofits span not quite the globe, but they do span a wide range of interests, music, arts, more than that.
Well, we have, what is it, Ugandi's Village is located here, and they're focused in Africa. There's Food for Our Children, the Food Bank. Mm-hmm. There's just wide range of people who are committed to serving in this community.
I think the library's on Idaho Gives as well, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And the Pearl Theater up in Bonners. Mm.
And the library is trying to do a little plug. Their library is in the process of doing a capital campaign to expand the library, and keeping in mind that really does focus largely on supporting our youth and our senior population. And they have a fundraiser coming up in May Sandpoint Rotary is hosting it for them.
Yes. So anything we can do to help the library is great. It's a wonderful library here in Sandpoint. We've talked about where the party is going to be on Idaho Gives Day, but why don't we talk a little bit more about how that's all going to happen, and if a person wanted to come, and do they bring a checkbook, and they... How will they come? Will they drink beer and give? Or
sure.
Tell us about the whole afternoon.
I think I agree that none of us would turn down a check or cash on that day.
Yeah, no, certainly not at all. You know, when you do give online, it is potentially leveraged or able to be leveraged for more funds from the center. So that said, we certainly would accept cash, checks, you know.
Sure. But giving online is a great way, because then folks have the opportunity for the golden ticket or to help you out
exactly.
at the level you've achieved.
And we will have technology available. You know, folks, if you're not tech savvy, we'll gladly assist you through that process with an iPad or computer there on hand.
Well, tell us where they need to go. I'm assuming they can be giving soon, or do they have to wait until the day?
Today, like right now, you can schedule your donation.
Okay.
In advance, and I don't. Do you have the URL, Britta?
I don't, but if you Google Idaho Gives, I think it's idahogives.org. But if you Google it, it'll be the first thing that pops up.
Yeah, and then from there, you can just do an actual Bonner County search, and all of your nonprofits in Bonner County will pop up, and you can just kind of scroll through and select the ones that you want to give to.
So it's pretty easy, and for those that maybe don't want to come out and have a beer, is this the main event? However, there's not like another picnic or anything. That's the big Idaho Gives opportunity.
That's the big event. A picnic. Hey, that would be fun. That would be that evening. But all the participating organizations are open that day, I'm sure, and you can swing by. And even if curiosity is piqued, we would love for visitors to come and ask questions and find out more about us.
Are the nonprofits expecting visitors on that day? Are they expecting folks to stop in and chat with them about their organizations? Is it that kind of a thing?
Well, not necessarily, but we definitely would encourage it. I think one thing that's happened this year that has not happened before is that Idaho Nonprofit Center has put funds towards more collective marketing of the day and area-focused marketing. In the past, it's been not so much in North Idaho, but we have had more advertising up here this year. So who knows what's going to happen.
I'm curious how the donation situation is in 2017. Of course, we went through a recession and an economy that's rebounded. And of course, I know that nonprofits can struggle. How is it going? Are you seeing that people are more generous these days?
We think that our individual donors have kind of maintained and are, if nothing else, increasing their generosity, and which is really important because especially right now, and I don't know with the animal shelter, but with being a conservation organization, grant funding in the future is could be some waning there. So it's always good to kind of hedge that with an increase in individual donations. Every little bit helps. You know, $10, $25 here or there can make a big difference. It all adds up.
Sure. And Dennison, what are you finding?
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely increased over the past few years, but I think that also has something to do with just gaining awareness of who we are, what we're doing, how we're doing it within the community. So Idaho Gives definitely helps with that. It provides a platform to give us exposure to who we are and what we're doing.
Sure. And Mandy, how are you finding that you're receiving growing funds?
I think every year we kind of the same situation where we're increasing our donors. I don't think that any nonprofit in this area would say that we have reached our, peak. We struggle to do a lot on a very small budget. So donations, if people really believe in what we're doing or other nonprofits are doing, their support is tremendous. And like Brita said, that $10 donation, it can equal big results for an organization.
Yes, and any amount makes a difference, right? As long as a lot of people are thinking about you and giving. It's not about giving everything. It's about just giving regularly.
Yeah, I mean, $10 mm-hmm. every month, mm-hmm. that's very meaningful to us.
I wanted to ask you, who are the givers on a day like this? Who's giving?
It's mostly individuals. The award pool, where kind of that extra push of funding can come from, that's from businesses and corporations. But basically all that money comes from individual donors throughout the state, which is huge.
It really is. And what percentage, I know, Britta, you said it's important that more individuals begin giving because other funding is always uncertain, but is a large percentage of your nonprofit donation coming from individuals? What's the percentage? Do you know roughly?
That is a question for Phil.
Yes.
He is the holder of the budget. I can tell you that it is an increasing percentage.
Okay.
So
how about you guys? Are they mainly individuals or do you have an even mix of other sources?
Mine is the animal shelter is mainly individual donations. And our thrift store, if it weren't for the thrift store, we really couldn't survive. So it's people going and shopping and donating to the thrift store that makes a huge difference for us as well.
Yes, and that works both from the standpoint of individuals giving the inventory, the
yes.
clothing, that sort of thing, and then the individuals coming and buying. So it's two types of giving you can help with.
Yes,
there.
And it's over 50% of our budget.
Wow, that's great. And Dennison, how about you all? Do you find you've got much individual giving? How's it work out?
Well, again, it's I think for us a wide I guess you could say patchwork approach to raising funds. So we're actually a little bit different in that we actually are a fee for service program. Granted, the fee that we charge schools is like literally pennies on the dollar. So for example, a programming day that would cost $50 a day for a student, we, charge anywhere from $5 to $30 per student. So,
yes.
We're still getting that revenue in, which is very, very helpful. Without that, we couldn't do what we do, without a doubt. But the other programs that are, pro bono or fully scholarship programs, those are definitely individuals giving either at Idaho Gives or the Backcountry Film Festival each year.
Yeah, I imagine it takes quite a mix of donors in order to keep any nonprofit running, and you've just
especially
explained
here.
That.
Yes, yeah, there's a lot of nonprofits in Bonner County. There's like it's some number like 80 at one point in time. I don't know how accurate that is, but there's a lot of need here. So
Yes, lots of reasons to give and lots of people that would love to have donations. So hopefully everyone will be thinking about giving on Idaho Gives Day. For those of you just joining us, you're here listening to 88.5 KRFY. That's community radio for the North Idaho Panhandle. This is Julie Callum, I'm your morning show host. And if I didn't mention it before, I'll let you know that if you were not able to hear all of this morning's program, you can always come back and hear it as a podcast. And you will find that at krfy.org. Well, we're going to be wrapping up shortly, so any last thoughts for you three, if you'd like to make a last comment about Idaho Gives and
I would like to say that KRFY is also a nonprofit, whether participating in Idaho Gives or not, but we do appreciate you focusing on nonprofits in our community and helping us. And
it's what community radio does.
Yes, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
So we just hope to see everybody on May 4th at the IPA. And if you can't make it, that's okay. Just donate online.
That's right. And Dennison, any last words for us?
Yeah, just come out and either jump online or come out to the Idaho Port Authority, like Britta said, and you know, give to our local nonprofits.
And support IPA in general, because yes, they are huge yes, supporters yes. of the nonprofit community. And just, I mean, Dennison, you just had to call him, right? And say, hey, you want to help us that night?
Yep. John's a huge supporter for what we do as a community, and he loves this event. And so, yeah, folks should come out. You do not have to have a beverage, you know, to be in there. It is definitely a, you know, friendly space. So come on by, you know, chat with us, and there's going to be representatives and some brochures and things like that for all the participating nonprofits on hand.
It seems like a unique cooperative association with the Idaho Port Authority. I don't recall experiencing that in the town I lived in. So it's pretty neat that he's willing to do that.
Yeah, it's nice to have community-focused businesses.
That's right. Well, all right, everybody. Don't forget about Idaho Gives Day and be as generous as you can. On that note, we will take a song break, and that song will be Joe Cocker's With a Little Help from My Friends. Take them all along. All right, and that was Get By With a Little Help from Your Friends by Joe Cocker, a good tune for our previous topic, which was Idaho Gives Day. And we're not finishing with the idea of giving or helping, because we're moving on to another interview this morning with the group named Sandpoint Community Resource Center. And we're being joined this morning by Rich Cretall. Hello, good morning, Rich.
Good morning, Julie.
And Jack Dyke. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
Good to see you both here. You've got an event coming up, but why don't you begin by telling us a little bit more about your organization, Sandpoint Community Resource Center, and what it's all about, what its mission is.
Well, Julie, we started in 2009 is when we had the inception to do Sandpoint Community Resource Center. And then it kind of evolved through. We finally got our 501c3 in 2010, and then we started building the organization at that time. When in our first year of actual helping people was basically 2012, in which my partner Dave Pietz and I carried a cell phone and a couple of yellow pads. And we were working with agencies that we knew would help. And then at that time, we started working on, we got some great people coming along, and I picked up Jack, and Jack wasn't sure he wanted to be picked up, but I picked him up and helped with us. Came on as our financial area. Finally, in 2013 was the first year that we jumped out to the community, and we've been going ever since. We are a database agency, at which time we have over 300 service providers that we work with to provide services for those folks that are in need. And then we also have two offices. We have an office at the Columbia Center, Columbia Plaza, in room 101. And then in addition to that, we have another room upstairs that's probably, you might want to say, the guts of SCRC, because that's where we do all of the work and have most of our people there. And that kind of gives you a quick history, Julie, of where we're at. We had, at that time also, during this period of time, we had the capability of a young lady who came on board with us by the name of Becca Orchard. And at that point, she started putting together a website for us. And you can go on our website and check out the website. The website is actually sandpointcommunityresource.com, or excuse me, SCRC at sandpointcommunityresource.com. And they're just redoing that website. Just broke out a new one here about 2-3 weeks ago, and it's consistently increasing and increasing. And so you can get help even off the website. Kind of gives you an idea, Julie.
Okay. And, you know, a question that I have about your organization is that, you know, some of us would think, well, if we have a problem, we just call the county or whatever, and they'll direct us to the resource we need. But it sounds like it's more complicated than that because you exist. So you must, you obviously do more than just a phone call into the county. You're helping people really find the right place to be if they've got a problem. Well, essentially.
People a lot of times were aware of agencies that could possibly help, but they were kind of paralyzed by the inability to kind of define where to go. And so this gives us a chance to have people come to us. We triage their needs and try to link them up with people that can help them. And we'll kind of hold their hand through the process. And people that need help come in a variety of states of mind. Some are embarrassed. Some are really disheartened. And so you try to work through that and just connect them with people that can kind of give them hope and get them on the right path again and give them some help. And so provided, I think, the missing piece of the puzzle, because we do have lots of people to provide services, just people didn't know, where do I start? And this gives them a chance to know where to start.
Well, exactly right. That would be my problem. I wonder, where do I go with this problem? And so a simple call or checking onto your website would help them begin that process.
Yes, we have resource specialists that are in our office from 10 to 2 every day, Monday through Friday. They can call 920-1840 is our telephone number. They'll pick up a resource specialist there, and that person will be able to help them or direct them. So they have a direct contact to us. Once they call, they're going to get a live person. And if they're going to get shocked because they get a live person, then that's what's going to happen. That live person is going to be like Jack says. They're going to kind of triage them, try to see what they can do to help them, and then send them in some direction to help, okay?
I see.
Now, remember one thing. We're not able to solve everybody's problems. We can't solve everybody's problems, but we can certainly help and get them in the right direction.
Sure. And do you find that there's one area of help that you're receiving the most calls for? Is there one large area, or is it all over the map?
No, there's clearly a few areas. We've identified, that's kind of a good lead into the symposium eventually, because we've identified some gaps in services in our community now. Since we've been, since the development of the website, we've been able to kind of track our data and create some pie charts showing where we've been able to serve people and help people and where we're lacking right now. And so we do have a definitive idea of some gaps in our community that we're that are underserved, and we're working to try to close those gaps.
That's great. Any, can you mention a couple of them? I'm so interested.
Yeah, for our symposium, we focused on four areas. I think, and Rich will correct me if I'm wrong, I think most of our calls we get that are unserved are housing issues for women and children. We've identified a big gap in transportation and more emergency transportation for people. If they've got a planned need, if they're a vet or a senior, they're able to negotiate that. But for emergency transportation for people that don't have working cars or don't drive, that's a rough position right now. Financial assistance. We have people come that need just immediate help for a couple, 3 days to get through. And then there's some mental health issues. There's still, we've got a backlog of people to see mental health patients at the hospital. And so those are the four areas we've identified that we're trying to kind of attack that.
Four really important areas. Would you like to begin telling us about the symposium?
Well, let's, and I'm going to add on to Jack's here. We also have a pretty comprehensive area for veterans. We know our veterans are coming back, and we try to help our veterans as much as we can. In fact, we have a young man that comes from Spokane, and he takes care of veterans here in Sandpoint. He uses our conference room to actually meet with veterans. So if you're a veteran, then, you know, you need to get a hold of us, call our number again, and then we'll put you in contact with the veterans people.
And is he a veteran specialist so we can help them get the help that they need?
Oh, absolutely.
Vets? Got it.
Absolutely. And then we have about approximately 20 agencies and veterans that we can help with.
That's a bunch. How many folks are working over at the Resource Center?
We could use some more volunteers.
Yeah.
We have, right now, we man the phones 10 to 2 Monday through Friday, and people can leave a message after hours, but we would love to be able to man the phones from, you know, 8 to 6. We'd love to do it 24 hours a day, but, you know, realistically, if we could get some more volunteers to help us answer the phones, and there's other needs as we grow that we find, but I believe there's probably 26 or to 30 people that are actively right now volunteering in some capacity or another, some more than others.
Yes, but it's hard to have enough to man phones, isn't it? More can always be used.
And it needs, and it's a specialized, it's a, it requires a special person. I do it occasionally, and it's
demanding.
It's emotionally draining, and some days you walk away feeling like $1 million, and you've helped some people. Other days, if you have no help, you walk away feeling like you kind of didn't do your job today. So it does require a special kind of personality, but it's a very rewarding thing to do, and we do need more help there.
One of the other things, and you talk about volunteers, we're going to jump into the symposium here, the second annual spring symposium. And during the symposium, we have a young lady that is with us that came to us from Vista. And United Way gave us a grant to get this young lady to come to us. She now heads up our volunteer empowerment program, and we're just unveiling that program this year. And what she is capable of doing is going out and finding people in the community. We have people, we have 300 agencies that are provider agencies, but we have a host of people who want to volunteer and do something, but really don't know where they can volunteer, what their particular talents can do. So if we come through the Vista program, she comes through, and let's say that Julie's going to do something. Maybe you're going to clean up the highway, and you need some extra people to clean up the highway. You could come through our program, ask for some volunteers, and maybe we could probably help you get some volunteers. So that's another program that we have, is connecting the people who want to volunteer with those who are able to volunteer and get some help done.
That is great to know, you guys. That's a great service.
Yeah, it's an exciting piece of our puzzle that it stays with our mission and is consistent with what we try to do, and that's just to match people up.
Right. More volunteers means more help for people that need help.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's going to be coming up on our spring symposium. The spring symposium, and Jack's been heading up that symposium, and I'm not going to take anything away from him, but it's coming up on April the 27th, which is going to be this Thursday from 8 to noon, and it's going to be out at the Pondere Events Center. And I'm going to let Jack tell you all about that. He's the guru on that one.
That's right, and that's in 2 days, everybody, so put it on your calendar.
Yeah, and if you can, register. If you can go onto our website and register, you can email us and we can send you an invitation. But last year we had about 110 people here at the event, which was about 3 times what we had planned on. So it was exciting to see that we've found a need in the community to unite people. And last year we kind of had our little tagline was unifying the service provider community. And this year it's trying to problem solve bridging the gaps in our services. And so we're going to have people together. We are anticipating a full house of 125 people. And so we have, as Rich said, we'll be unveiling our volunteer empowerment program. And then United Way has partnered with us, and they'll be presenting another update on the ALICE initiative, which is Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed. Basically, that is the working family who earns above the poverty line but earns below the amount that is necessary to exist on a daily basis. So it's kind of poor is saying the working poor. And so we have people that are in that position and they're gainfully employed. They just can't quite climb above that level of income that allows them to sustain. And so United Way has been attacking that problem and trying to share that with employers and problem solve ways to get people just to that next step of employment or of income. So they're doing a presentation, which we're excited about. And then we'll be breaking into groups in the afternoon and really diving into our 4 areas of gaps and asking our providers to begin to take an active role in solving the problems. We're going to ask them to identify what they feel the biggest problems are and then how do we solve them. And we're going to come away with an action item where people are going to commit to doing something that's measurable and tangible. And then in a month, we'll be reporting back and hopefully making some progress.
What a great schedule. It sounds wonderful. Who are you hoping will attend the symposium? Even individuals in need or mainly others that could provide help?
More people. This is more for the service providers. And then we've invited all of the mayors of all of our cities and city council members and commissioners. We'd love to have better attendance this year from our public officials, because I think it's a real eye-opener to see what's available out there and what we could do to really help those people in need. So we've invited all the service providers. We have quite a few people from the school district, school board members. Any community person who's interested is more than welcome to come. We're really trying to help bring our churches together to provide a more unified way to deliver benevolence to their benevolence to the community. They're all very generous. It's just we're trying to help them
organize a bit. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So really, anyone could attend, but you're looking for principally for organizations who might be able to work together and help solve your four areas of concern. Yeah.
And individuals who really have the time to do the same thing.
Sure.
Yeah, an individual can be very powerful.
That's very true. And so those would likely be volunteers that you'd like to have on your your list.
Yep.
Yeah. And if you want to be a volunteer, let's say that you have an area and you're an individual and you want to find some place to hang your hat to help, come to the symposium. You're going to be able to talk to all sorts of agencies and talk to a lot of people, and you can maybe find a place that you'd like to hang your hat. You're going to have 100, 125 people there that are involved in helping those that are in need. And boy, we're not going to turn anybody away from the door.
No, this is really a big event. This should be really wonderful.
This is our second one, Julie.
Yes.
And been very successful. This was Jack's brainstorm when we first started out. The first one we did was kind of exciting. We didn't know what to expect. It was kind of one of these deals, here it is, and what are we going to do with it? And then all of a sudden it just blossomed. And then the second one's come along, and now we're seeing the results of the first one holding over to the second one. And now we're really getting into the point where we can start to help people, maybe solve some problems. And like Jack said, if we could get some of the city people to come in, some of our county commissioners and places like that, when we start talking about transportation, we start talking about money, we start talking about things like this. This is things that affect the whole area. It's not just what SCRC was trying to solve. This is what we need to solve as a city or cities. This is what we need to solve as a county. Mm-hmm. Can we get the transportation and what can we do? And what are some of the areas that maybe they could help us with in getting some grants that would help to put up a transportation system or other than what we have in the way of spot, that type of a thing. Add to so we have a better capability of getting some of those folks that are in need around to get what's happening.
And it's just a wonderful organization in that you're able to bring together resources that are existing but not as organized as they could be. And it does sound like there really is a place for that. So I'm so happy you've come in to tell us about it.
Yep, it's been really fun, too, to see the organization of the when we first created our first database, we recognized and we found some duplication of services. So we were able to take 3 or 4 weaker organizations and create 1 or 2 stronger ones, and thereby better serving the community. So that's been a really kind of cool byproduct also.
Yes, better use of your dollars and your manpower. That's wonderful.
That was the other thing that we found, Julie, that when we first started this, when Dave and I first started giving out help, we automatically, and it wasn't very long, found that the duplication of services was tremendous. And we found that in certain areas you would have 5, 6, 7 agencies duplicating the same service. And then all of a sudden those 5, 6 agencies were vying for the same dollar to sustain their services. And so consequently, if you had a dollar and you had 5 agencies, you got 20 cents, everybody's got 20 cents. Where if some of these agencies were able to see what they were doing could consolidate, then you can get better services and get higher dollars to come in and to do your service. And these are things that we've come up with in our database, because we can tell you exactly the services, we can tell you exactly the people that are there, and we can tell you exactly what's happening in those areas.
Yeah, I can see how that would make a big difference. It's lucky that you came around, or it might have gone on forever. It's great. Well, we just have a few more minutes on the morning show. Would either Rich or Jack like to tell us a little bit more about just a final invite to the big gathering, to our exciting day? It's only 2 days away, or just final thoughts?
I think one thing for that I'd like to share is if people do want to attend the symposium, we'd love to have anybody who's interested in it. They don't have to be associated with an organization. They just can be interested, and we'd love to have them. They can go to our website, which is sandpointcommunityresource.com, and register, and we'd appreciate if they would do that.
Yes, that's important.
It's so very important for organizational standpoint for us. And then the last thing is, I think people now, Rich alluded to it earlier, our website's becoming a functional piece of what we do, and we're seeing more and more people go directly to our website and help friends. And they can go to our website, and if you go to our website, there's a Get Help button, and that Get Help button will walk you through how you can help someone or help yourself receive assistance. So it'll highlight the areas that you might have need in, and it'll then, when you kind of walk through and click on it, it'll give you some agencies that you can contact who are welcoming the phone calls, and they will help you get some help. And so we're seeing more and more people, which is exciting, use our website and not call us. We're happy to talk to them, love to help them, but if they're using the website directly, we're feeling really positive about that. So please check out the website, and it's a lot of fun information, a lot of community information on our website as well. It's been very well done.
Yes, and some people are reticent to call and talk about their problems. It's just how we are in Idaho. We're independent, and so maybe it is a good thing that they're going online and
right, and
numbers.
And like Jack says, the Get Help area, we just had a board meeting here a week or half ago, and we had somewhere between 800 and 900 hits on our website to Get Help. We're trying at this particular point to break down our data to see just exactly out of those 800, 900 hits that we had, you know, did people get some help, or were they just cruising, or what was the process? Our folks that are doing our website are in the process of setting that up so we can keep track of those. And we keep track of the actual ones that come in, the telephone calls. We have a regular in sheet that we fill out that comes in. And we know we've talked to Julie today, because we've got your name and your telephone number and your address, and we know what Julie's problems are today, okay? Or what your opportunities are. We look at everything as an opportunity, not as a problem, okay? And so at that particular point, we know that. But we don't know when Jack hits the website, did we help solve his or not? And that's what we're trying to do now, is to make it so we can bring that information in and say, okay, we had 900 hits, but out of the 900 hits, we saved, where we helped 400 people.
Okay. Right, that's
important. And that's what we're trying to do now, Julie, is to refine those numbers so we know where we're at.
Well, good. Well, we're going to wrap up our chat this morning, and I want to thank both Rich Kretal and Jack Dyke for joining us. They're from the Sandpoint Community Resource Center, and you want to give us that website one more time?
Yeah, it's going to be sandpointcommunityresource.com.
Okay, great. And I want to thank you, gentlemen, and I hope that the symposium is well attended.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks, Julie.
Yes, thanks so much, Rich. And we're going to go out to a song break and out with a song. And that song, again, in the theme of giving, a little crazier one this time, is Ike and Tina Turner, Come to... Well, welcome back, KRFY listeners. This is Julie Calamine finishing up the Tuesday morning show. We just have a couple of minutes before the end of the hour, and I'd like to point out that you can join us tomorrow, Wednesday, for the Wednesday morning show. That'll be on the 26th. Listen to Susie Perez and Chris Bessler, and their guest will be Waldorf 8th grade student and KRFY intern Tom Cardy, the young gentleman that Phil and I interviewed last week. So tune in for that at 8 a.m. It should be very good. And Thursday, hoping that you will join Jack and Jim Healy, Jack Peterson and Jim Healy, with their guest Dinah Wall, talking about the festival at Sandpoint, and that would be Thursday at 8 a.m. And do not forget, if you can consider our online silent auction, we would love for you to do that. It's going to happen from May 6th until May 21st. And these are going to be some pretty cool prints, photo prints made by Viggo Mortensen. So be a chance to have something really unique from Viggo. And that's about going to do it for this morning. I wish everyone a great week, and we'll go out with just a part of a song, and that's going to be REM, What If We Give It Away. Have a great week.